right now on VFN TV for 90 hours straight in Washington, D.C. They're reading the Bible all the way through. And how do you stay hot in a lukewarm world? Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
For 90 hours straight, 4 days, they're reading the Bible all the way through in front of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. An amazing thing. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
This is so amazing how they come together once a year, right? And read the Bible for 4 days straight.
4 days straight. What a great place.
Yes. What? And so they're reading the Bible, you know, 4 days, and they don't stop, 24 hours a day.
That's right.
Government officials come out and do it as well, right?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, is it Louis Gohmert, Congressman?
Louis Gohmert.
Yeah.
Where's he at? Let's see, from Texas.
From Texas. He was there reading, it's called, what, Bible Reading Marathon at the U.S. Capitol. That's so important because
it is.
When I think about this, I think about King Josiah when he had the public reading. As a matter of fact, when you look at every time Israel was coming back to a right place, what they would do was just read God's word out loud in front of everybody.
That's a good idea.
Outside. But the key to it is everybody was listening because the king was actually reading it. But with the word, God's word does not return void. So you're looking at, you know, the word of God going, and it's so powerful. If you hadn't read the word of God, so many people have a Bible, but they're not reading it.
Actually, they have more than one. Statistics, I think, our average American has at least four Bibles in their homes, believe it or not.
Four.
And one for their car, probably.
And now digitally, you have any Bible you want around the world, thanks to Bible Gateway and I think the Bible Hub and all these different programs that are out there. As a matter of fact, let's take a look at what's taking place.
Through each day of the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me.
Oh God, we have heard it with our own ears.
The Lord Almighty is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress.
The Bible says train up a young person in the way they should go. When they're older, they'll adhere to it. So by getting Christian schools and... homeschoolers to come at a young age, they not only are grounded in the Word of God, but they understand the importance to the Bible. The Bible is to the United States.
That's so important when you're thinking about that. Seeing these young kids read it, is that not powerful?
It's beautiful, man? Absolutely. We're turning back to the Bible, and it's wonderful that we're doing it in Washington, D.C., because there's a couple of folks down there that could use some Bible reading.
Well, you know, when you read the Word of God, you hear all these laws that are trying to be passed or people pushing particular laws that are unrighteous laws. But when you read the Scriptures and you read the Bible, it says specifically, do not kill your children.
Yeah.
It says, do not, you know, the Moloch was a false god that they would offer children to. And they would take the child and lay the child on this altar. And they would kill the child for their own personal benefit so their life would be better. Well, God hates that. God said, of all the things he hated the most, that's one thing that he hates the most. And here we are, you know, people were trying to keep laws in the books about aborting children. Well, if you read the Word of God, it goes forth. And guess what? He says it accomplishes everything it's set out to do. So that's not in vain. It's not just some political exercise. It's actually believers coming together to say, I believe there's power in the Word. I even think about this. The Word of God is sharper. That's what he says in Hebrews 12, verse 4, maybe. You know, the Word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and attitudes of the heart. And literally helps you understand what's going on. So if you take the Word of God and launch it like they're launching it, it starts, you know, bringing reasoning to what's taking place in your life.
Makes me think about, you're just talking about abortion and how what God's Word has to say about that.
Yeah.
Just recently, the governor of Georgia just signed into law the heartbeat bill.
Praise
That's
God.
So huge. You see all this contention over these political races. And I'll tell you what, if it went the other way, we're not sure if that, pretty positive, that bill wouldn't have gotten signed. So it's so important that we adhere to the Word of God.
And the heartbeat bill is that once you hear the heartbeat, you cannot take the life of that child, which is really soon.
It's coming to an end.
It's coming to an end. And when you hear us every day talking about it, you know, about, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. The reason why we ask God that is because in that order is you're not going to have a great awakening as long as there's innocent bloodshed on the land.
That's right.
And God, blood speaks. Your blood actually speaks. Abel's blood even speaks to this day. There's life in the blood. You take the blood out of the body, You don't have life.
That's right.
And so when innocent bloodshed is taking place, God's not going to give us. He wasn't going to give Israel. He's going to take Israel into captivity because of all the innocent bloodshed. But King Josiah came out. He came on the scene. When he was king, he found out there's a Bible, basically, the Word of God, that nobody was reading. He said, go find that thing. Mm-hmm. They found it. He had a secretary read it out loud to himself and to the nation. And he started adjusting everything in the country based off what God's Word said. And when they did that, they were planning to go, God was planning on loosing them, letting them go into their own consequences, which is Babylonian captivity. But they didn't go. And of all the things that God said about a king, he said King Josiah was the greatest king there ever was because he actually adhered, he read the word, and he actually did what it said. Sounds like abiding, too.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet requested your free abiding plan, we have one for you. It's at iabide.org. You start abiding with God, hiding your His word in your heart and doing what He says and just talking to God. I mean, your life is going to be transformed. I mean, it doesn't change. Yeah.
The atmosphere of Washington, D.C. is changing so much that you haven't heard that much backlash, but it's, again, another reason why the Bible does belong in the public square. If you look at many of the monuments around Washington, D.C., this is where they're reading the Bible in front of the U.S. Capitol. The Bible scriptures is everywhere. In fact, in the Washington Monument, there was a Bible inside that monument. So it's just wonderful to see God's Word being exalted in that place.
Yeah.
Also including the Bible Museum, which is probably not far from where they're reading the Word of God. So
it's the tallest building now in Washington, D.C. You got to observe it. If you got a chance, go to the Bible Museum. And it's just amazing to see such a powerful light, positive stronghold in Washington, D.C. with all the things that are going on in there.
That's amazing.
It's called Museum of the Bible, and you can find it at museumofthebible.org. Well, listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about, you know, how to stay hot in a lukewarm world. But first I want to ask you, what are your comments? What are your thoughts about, you know, people reading the Bible publicly like this? I mean, what do you think about Congressman
Louie Gohmert
standing up from Texas, going there, I'm unashamedly going to read, you know, the scripture, these young kids reading scripture? Does it encourage you to start doing the very same thing? Comment below. Let us know your thoughts. Share back and forth about it. Also, you know, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We love hearing from you. We love seeing your thoughts. So join us after this break. We're going to go right straight to how do you stay hot in a lukewarm world. We're going to go all the way to Kansas City, Missouri, right?
That's right.
In regards to Mike Bickle, International House of Prayers. He's talking specifically about how to stay hot, because the consequences of not being hot is not good at all. We're going to find out what God has to say about being lukewarm. In other words, being complacent about the things of God. Join us at the break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith in what He's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator. I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that He has a wealth transfer coming and He wants to deliver wealth to His people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that He's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so He's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We want to send it to you for free.
And you can go to VFNKB.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600
yeah.
wisdom nuggets in addition to the success strategies. It's yours now at VFNKB.com.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you think about this. How do you stay hot in a lukewarm world? And the reason why I say that is, you know, when you are lukewarm with the things of God, he says very specifically, Jesus does in his scripture, in the book of Revelation, he talks about how he will respond to us based on being hot, cold, or lukewarm. And of course, lukewarm is somebody that's complacent. You know, you're not here, you're not there, you're not yes, you're no. You live in the maybes, and there's a lot of maybes. And as a matter of fact, let's listen to Mike Bickle, International House of Prayer, where he is speaking specifically how to stay hot in a lukewarm world. And he's talking specifically about the church in America and the church worldwide. He's seeing how we've all become lukewarm. And the one thing that's happening right now that's consistent across the globe is wealthier, less people are in poverty than ever been before. We have better things going for us to make us more comfortable, make things more convenient. But what is it causing us to do? Possibly be lukewarm. Let's listen to Mike now. Mike Bickle.
First of all, he says, I am the Amen. Then secondly, I'm the faithful and true witness. Thirdly, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Let's look at each one of those facets of his ministry. Because again, these three are not the only ones, but they are particularly important to overcoming lukewarmness. So they ought to be like top of our list to say, okay, we really want to grasp this. Because I think that spiritual lukewarmness is one of the most common, or I don't know if that's the right word, descriptions of the church, not just even in the West, around the world. The body of Christ is struggling with spiritual lukewarmness And I believe in the early days of the generation of the greatest revival in history, where the church is going to shake off the lukewarmness and walk in her identity as a cherished bride. The Spirit and the bride crying, "Come, Lord Jesus." And the bride will be prepared for his coming because she'll be walking in wholehearted love for him and for one another.
And he talks about, Mike continues to talk about, we'll make this whole thing available to you at the VFNKB on the torch. But understand this, that it's one of the signs of the last days where the church becomes lukewarm. And, you know, Mike is saying that it's a worldwide church issue thing. Mm-hmm. And I love Mike because Mike can talk about a serious issue where the text is saying, "And thou wilt lose thy life," you know, whatever it is, just some major, you know, you lose your life or something. And he goes, "Well, I don't know if God really meant he's going to lose your life or not, but I know." And specifically, when he says, you know, very scripture is to the church of Laodicea, "I'd rather you be cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I'll spew you, I'll spit you out of my mouth." And it's like, whatever that means, it doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good at all.
Especially,
remember the first time I read that scripture, yeah. I go, wow, God actually has those feelings. You know, I was new in the Lord.
Right.
And so many times people disassociate with God with the idea that he could actually be upset, that he could be angry, that he could be hurt or dissatisfied.
Right.
And that's a definite dissatisfied response from an awesome God.
Right, right. And so you're looking at, you know, I understood that kind of lightly in the context of why would anybody have a problem drinking something kind of lukewarm? But then I met Pat. Pat does not like things lukewarm. I'm like, that's, you know, you think about that, but God's, he doesn't like that person who's just, how many people today, if you ask them a question, they won't say yes or no, they'll say maybe. Or you ask them, where do you stand on the country? They won't be clear on what they stand on the country. Where do you stand with God? They won't be clear on what they stand with God. You know, what are your values? They won't be open because they're saying, like, I don't want to tell you my true values. Can I tell you my true values? You might not like me. And in this compromise, where we have this compromised life, and you look at lukewarm state, and it's the last thing. I mean, Jesus was obviously not a compromiser. He didn't compromise. He wasn't lukewarm. He was very specific. He was very loving. And he was very direct in how to deal with things, direct in his love, direct in his compassion, but also direct in his responses to people. He was pretty clear. He was very clear about how the Father's heart is towards us. And so some of the things that thinking about, when you think about how can we stay, you know, hot and not lukewarm, is focus on, and this is what Mike's talking about, and further in this talk that he had, is to understand that God is faithful and true. He's faithful and true, which means what he says, what God says, you can bank on it. You can bank on it. And you can also bank on this. The people who don't bank on it are going to be living a life totally different than what God says. So you can't look at the majority of folks and where they're going. You just have to look at what God is saying and understand that I can put my trust in God. So somebody who is hot and they're not lukewarm, that's somebody that is trusting God. They just, like, God said it. That's it. I know my life does not look like that right now, but I'm holding on to that. It may take time for that to manifest in my life, but I know it. If God said it, he's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. And when he speaks, he fulfills it. All of his promises are yes in Christ Jesus. So one way to stay hot is it's not like you can't force yourself. You can't actually just go, like, I'm going to start being hot now. And that's the end of a destructive road right there, where all of a sudden that, you know, you're going to, you know, like Romans chapter 7, you can have all these great plans how you're going to start being hot, no longer lukewarm. It's going to fail. What's going to succeed is understanding the grace of God to be hot and locking into the promises of God. You have to not only know the promises of God or learn them, but you have to believe them, and then you need to speak them back to God. God wants you to say, when he says he's faithful and true, you can say to God, God, you are faithful and true. Everything that you said, when you're talking to God, when you're talking to him, understand this, that you can look him in faith in his eye, and you can say, you are faithful and true, you know, and you can, whatever his promises are. And so when you do that, God's seeing you, because normally it is in the world, the opposite of what God is saying, and then it manifests despite what they're doing. So you have to believe God. For example, he told Israel, I'm going to free you from slavery. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, the first thing they physically saw was a desert, a wilderness. I mean, there's no milk, there's no honey, there's no water unless God brought it from a rock. So they had to believe God, his promises, that he was going to do what he said he's going to do. But we go through the promise, the principle, and the provision of the principle. And so he wants us in the middle of our wilderness type experiences to believe him despite what people are saying. And that's how we stay hot. And then he was going to bring them into the promised land. And he had to believe. He said, I'm going to give them into your hands. But they didn't believe the promises of God. And so they were too afraid to actually go in. And so God was so upset, he actually let them die in the wilderness and just took in, you know, a few others, the younger people who finally grew to a certain point with Joshua and Caleb. They went on in to the land and they took it because they believed God. You know, he believed God that Joshua did, that God would do exactly what he said to do. So we get back from this break. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the promises of God. And there's so many of them. We're going to talk about a couple of them. But understand this. It's not just the good promises. We have to believe every promise that God made. So if he says specifically that, you know, I'd rather you be cold or hot, not lukewarm, one of his promises is, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you or spew you out of my mouth. That doesn't sound good, does it? And the thing about it is like, okay, that's a promise. So we can say, God, I know that you don't want me to be lukewarm. I don't have it within my own abilities. I know it's by your grace to be hot. But Lord, I'm asking you, make me hot. Set me on fire and passion-wise for you. Lord, I want to lock into your promises. So join us after the break. You know, comment below. What are your thoughts on this aspect of staying hot? Where are you at right now? Do you feel like I'm living lukewarm? I need to get hot. You know, you say, what about cold? Well, listen, a person who's cold is not religious. They're the easiest person to tell about God because they know their current state. The lukewarm person is the one that's wrong, but they're religious, and you tell them what's right, and they don't respond to it at all. A cold person who's sick in their heart, they're cold, they're sick and they need to be healed. They're open, like, if Jesus heals, I want to be healed. They get healed, and all of a sudden, they go from cold to hot in their passion for God because Jesus just transform their life. So we're going to go right to the promises. We're going to have them up. It's going to encourage you after this break. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
There are some facts of nature that never fail to astound me. For instance, did you know that before it snows, fir trees will retract their branches so the weight of the snow they'll have to bear is reduced?
Here's Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
This withdrawal response by trees is programmed into every branch, even those smaller than a little finger. The Creator has enabled the tree, in effect, to anticipate the problem before it occurs in order to reduce the effects of that natural phenomenon. And we can do the same in marriage. You may not be able to avoid problems and crises in marriage, but you can anticipate them and prepare for their arrival because most of the stress points in families are entirely predictable. One of my good friends spent a considerable amount of time with his wife preparing for the moment when their kids would move out of the house. They talked about the empty nest to each other and to friends who had gone through it, and they read books about it and applied what they had heard to themselves. As a result, the transition to the empty nest was smooth and uneventful. Into every marriage, a little snow will fall. Blizzards will blow and storms will howl. An effort to anticipate these difficult times will help you and your mate stand up under the weight of the problems that might otherwise threaten to bring your relationship down.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're talking about the promises of God. One way for us to be able, through the grace of God, to be able to stay hot, of course, is asking God, but to remember what God said and locking into his promises, soaking on them, believing them, speaking them back to him. And I think of the first promise right here, John, what is Exodus 14:4? Read that to us right there.
The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
How often are we in some sort of battle?
Yeah.
You know, and you want to, like, what do I need to do? And it's like, just be still and trust God, right?
God's saying, I got this. Relax.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was happening when the disciples were on the boat and it was getting all, the storm was going. Jesus was still, right, and trusting the Father.
Yeah.
And he was asleep in the boat while they were saying, don't you even care? We're going to die. We're going to perish. Right? And Jesus is like, oh, you of little faith. So great faith would have been just trusting God. And one way is the Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still, right?
So this is a promise that we can lock into,
yes,
hold on to, that'll help us to be on fire.
Yes, and I know one businessman once that told me, he's like, why aren't you doing this and this? And it's like, this is actually when I go out and get a nice meal and relax when things are looking really rough. Mm-hmm. And he began to do that, and things began to change in his business. Because then you're trusting God and good food because you're going to get a meal, right? Next is what? Exodus 20:12, another promise that we can lock into. John, read that for us.
Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you.
So honoring your father is not just a awesome thing to do to your father and mother, honoring them, but also has impact on your life. And so many people are struggling in their life because they lived a life of dishonor of their parents, you know, not honoring them. And it doesn't say your parents have to be right. It doesn't say they have to be saved or anything. You just have to just honor them and you know, allow God to handle anything that's going on.
That's
but
right.
The promise is, if you do that, you can hang on and say, God, I have honored my parents. I have honored my mother. I've honored my father. And you can hang into this promise that you'll have a long life and it'll be a prosperous life.
That's right. It's one of the only commandments that comes with a promise, so hold on to it.
It's beautiful, though. If you want to see something that's beautiful, it's how a daughter or a son will honor their parents. There's nothing like it. If you want to know how your husband is going to treat you or your prospective husband, find out how he treats his mother.
True.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Okay, yeah, if it's good, it's good. You know. So another promise is Isaiah 40:31. John, read that to us.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar to wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Which means is don't hope in politics. Don't hope in a man. Don't hope in a woman. Don't hope in your ideas, your business, your schemes. Don't hope in some political affiliation. Hope, keep your hope in God. And hope is this. Hope is a desire with an expectation of obtaining that which you desire. So it's not just some, you know,
it's not a wish, it's not a dream.
Yes, that's good. It's not a wish.
It's a hope with, you're right. Yeah. You're expecting that thing to come to pass.
Because he fulfills his promises.
Absolutely.
He's faithful to his word.
And just.
Right. And so this is one way. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I could just have hope in the Lord during this difficult time. He's going to renew my strength. There's going to be a day that I'm going to spread my wings again. I'm going to fly. But in this process, I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to put my hope in God. And that's a positive thing to most, to men. Yeah. Think, how could that be positive?
That's right.
You need to do something. You know, go borrow money. Go get a different job. Go move your house. Go do.
Well, that's called misplaced hope. You got to go find your hope and gather your hope and put it in on the Lord. People have their hope spread out on all different things, but God is the one that wants it. You know, your hope.
It's called hope and no change. Anyway, so Isaiah 41:10.
So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. It's powerful.
That's awesome. And you think, so do not fear. So if we're fearing, we're not trusting God.
No.
And sometimes, you know, we're convinced sometimes that I'm supposed to be worrying.
Afraid, yeah.
I'm supposed to be worried. We're supposed to be, aren't we supposed
to
be worrying?
That's what a responsible person does is worry and pace all night, right?
I'm seeing people illegally come into our country by 100,000 at a time that could fill a city bigger than populations of city. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. As a matter of fact, you can trust God all the way through it. And listen, don't fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Another promise. He has so many promises, and we're going to put many of them on the torch so you can see them. But this last one I want to close with is so important because it's Acts 27:25, and the ship was going down. Everybody was going to go down. They asked Paul, what do you think? God visited him and told him this. So he said, take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as he told me that it will be. You can trust God. And guess what? It happened. They landed on shore. They were all safe. No one drowned. Just like God said what will happen. Trust God and you will actually stay in a hot area. I just want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience. I pray encouragement over Father God. And Lord, even as they post and write their comments about what we're talking about the promises of God, Lord, encourage them in that, Father God. And Lord, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We ask this in Jesus' name. And I want to remind you, don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.